Breakfast with Spanky, 7:30 to 9:30 on RDU 98.5 FM.
Oh, we've all looked up at the sky, haven't we? And we've looked at the moon and we've tried to work out how big it is. And as capitalists, it always starts to sneak in there somewhere. We think to ourselves, you know, I'd enjoy the moon a lot more if I owned a bit of it. I think I just need to own some of it. And now that you can, we've got Hirsch Saha on the line, who is the only registered moon real estate agent in New Zealand. Good morning, Hirsch.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us. Tell me, how does one get the rights to sell the moon in the first place, Hirsch?
Well, it's quite interesting. It all started with the 1967 International Space Treaty, which clearly stipulated that no nation nor government can simply just own the moon or other extraterrestrial planetary bodies. And then in 1980, along came an American by the name of Dr. Dennis M. Hope, and he actually spotted a loophole in this. He said, okay, it says that no nation nor government can own it, but it never said that no individual or corporation cannot own it. So, believe it or not, he's claimed the moon and the other planets and their moons in the solar system, and he registered that claim with the major governments of the world at the time, the British one, the American one, and the Russian one. And you might still think, okay, what does that really mean? But what's quite interesting is that he set up an organization called the Lunar Embassy, and since then, since 1980, in the 30 years till today, they've been subdividing and selling the moon, Mars, Venus, and even some other bodies as well, by the acre. And what's quite interesting to notice is that it's not really the declaration of ownership in the first place. It's really what they've done and how it's recognized, because now that they've spread across the world and there's over 2 million owners of extraterrestrial real estate, that's what gives us its value. It's a bit like if you look at even real estate here on Earth, say you own a property, what is to say you really own it, apart from the fact that, one, it's registered on a database, the ownership of it, and two, that database is widely recognized. You know, it's like they say, perception is reality. So the same thing has happened because so many people, if you like, believe in them and value them and have now bought into them and invested in them and therefore recognize them. That's what gives it its value, as like anything else today.
It seems a little bit like when people were buying and selling real estate on things like Second Life, virtual yeah. real estate, that there's a...
Yeah,
there's an interest value. I guess the danger with being able to sell the whole universe is that you probably will never run out, so there won't be a hell of a lot of demand.
Well, you never know. It's a bit like when the Spanish discovered North America not even 1,000 years ago, and they came from Europe and they actually discovered the whole thing, and they didn't even claim it. They just thought, oh, it's too far away, we'll never get there. North America back then might as well have been Mars today. And look, not even 1,000 years later, and the story's a bit different. You know, who knows what's down the track? Who would have even thought that 50 or certainly 100 years ago, the things we have today that we have? So assuming things go well and we keep progressing, maybe one day could be us up there as well. And, you know, you never know what could happen. You never know where we could spread to.
Is it a bit human-centric, the thing that we can just automatically, as humans, own everything that we can see through a telescope?
Well, I guess that's a debatable one. I mean, I've read about it, and I think my opinion is that we look at these other worlds, and you know how we look at our own world, Earth, and they call it the Goldilocks planet, you know, being in just the right position, receiving just the right amount of sun and light, you know, for life and all that. And then we look at Mars and the Moon, and they just appear as dead planets. And to think that we could actually go there and make them alive, you know, they talk about terraforming Mars. Terraforming basically means converting it into Earth. You know, giving it seas and warmer weather. You know, I think that would just be incredible, you know, to think that we could actually go there and do that and bring a dead planet to life and not only increase the survival of our own species, perhaps even make it immortal, but to just spread everything else we have from Earth. And another good thing about it, you look at all the rich diversity of life right here on Earth, and to think that just one asteroid impact or one solar flare, and not just us, but all of it is gone, you know, all those millions of years of evolution. But to think if we could spread onto other planetary bodies, we would dramatically increase the chances of life surviving.
We're going to hedge our bets.
Yeah.
So how much would a piece of the moon cost me, Hirsch?
It's not much. It's like I was saying in the presentation I gave last night at Ignite. Basically, you know, I really don't want to make an obscene amount of money on this. I don't want to cheat anyone as well. I'm making it very affordable. The Lunar Embassy are simply charging $20 US an acre, so I've just made mine $20 New Zealand an acre.
And so, and craters are the same as flats?
Well, basically, what they've done is that they have carefully mapped it out. So, but yeah, it's pretty much the same at the moment. It's just because we haven't been there and we haven't sort of, if you like, chosen sort of the best locations, you know, as opposed to locations not as good. So at the moment you can't really choose the location of it or the quality of it. Oh, but hey, it's still an acre.
Still a piece of moon.
Exactly.
And I can do anything I like with that. I can build on it, or I can grow stuff. I can do anything with that piece of moon.
Yep, pretty much. The rules stipulate, yes, you can build on it. You can't charge others for traversing on it or even landing on it.
I wouldn't do that anyway.
You know, and and there's also other rules, like, and you can't start wars on these other bodies. You can't bring weapons to them. And
really?
And those rules are all understandable. Yeah, it's actually written because when you purchase a piece of the moon or Mars or Venus...
Especially Venus.
You get basically a certificate of title, a deed, with your name written on it and describing what the property is and exactly where it is on that extraterrestrial body.
So you get a certificate.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I mean, some people are going to be asking that question, aren't they, Hirsch? What's the point in owning a thing that you can probably never visit and is very very difficult to see? Is it more just sort of as a novelty present?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it's like my mother told me a long time ago, remember one thing in life, despite everything else, life is just for fun. I mean, you know, it's good to have something which is unique, you know, which really gets people talking, which makes you different. And it can be a potential prudent investment, even if we never get there. Just the fact that as more people become interested in this and buy into it and invest in it, that's where the value goes up. And already the value of these properties have gone up quite a bit in just the last 10 or so years. And you never know what could happen. I mean, to think it's just a mere $20 an acre, say 10, 20, 50 years down the track, who knows how much it could be, especially if we land there.
In 50 years' time, if we did start frequenting the moon, my concern is that, you know, it would be a bit like the Treaty of Waitangi all over again, that America would move on in, or China, and I'd get out my certificate that you've sent me in the post, and I'd flop that in their face, and I'd say, this is my piece of moon, and then they'd shoot me.
Yeah, it is a bit interesting. What the Lunar Embassy have done is they have gained a lot of world recognition. And according to what I've read and heard, they have now been recognized by the American government, pretty much the most powerful body on the planet. So that is starting to help. And I think it will still be a few decades until we get there. And hopefully, I really hope in that time, as more and more people come to know about the Lunar Embassy and purchase such property, it will just be given its value. It's like, again, talking about property right here on Earth. What gives it its value, apart from the fact that it's recognized by a lot of people, you know?
Sadly, we're not allowed to have guns to protect our land on the moon, though, are we? And lastly, can I buy Pluto? Because I would have thought since Pluto isn't a planet anymore, it would have been downgraded to be a cheaper option.
It's interesting, actually. I looked into that. Pluto, because we haven't really mapped it out, we have sent, if you like, probes up there, but they've just sort of seen the basics of it. You know, they haven't seen it in much detail. But apparently the Lunar Embassy, they did claim Pluto when it was a planet, even though now it's been considered as a dwarf. But they're actually selling that in its entirety. I saw it on the website. You can buy it for $250,000 US.
Really, $250,000? You get a whole, used to be a planet?
Pretty much, yeah. The planet Pluto, or the dwarf Pluto in its entirety.
God, well, I'm going to think about that. I'll talk to my wife about that one. Hey, Hirsch, it's been nice talking.
Yeah.
And I'll catch up with you later on. Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, that's Hirsch Saha. He's the... Now, guys, some people will be listening to that interview and they're going to be saying, wow, isn't that a load of bullshit? But let me remind you something. That is how most of the stock market started, was with talk like that. I don't know how long ago, was it 100 years ago? Futures markets, all these things that don't exist. People, but the value is that lots of people own it and then they'll want it and then other people, and that's how the world functions. They're just hoping that it'll take off. Appeal to you, Morgan?
This has been a Breakfast with Spanky podcast, thanks to RDU 98.5 FM. To find out more, go to rdu.org.nz.